We talked about last week about believing God for healing or salvation or any type of thing that you're trusting God for. And so we talked about these things there last week. And we're talking about God wants us to believe. The Bible says believe in our hearts, in our innermost being. And as we talked about last week, it's no good just to believe up here. People that believe up here don't have a relationship with God, or I shouldn't say a solid relationship with God, because they're just tossed to and fro with all kinds of thoughts. And something is going good, fine, I'll be in on it. But if there's a bit of a struggle, or it's not going the way I want it to go, therefore I'm not serving God, or I'm not going to be in church, or whatever the case might be. But we need to serve God. The Bible says that God is seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we're going to look at a few things today concerning that and concerning what the Word of God says about who we are and what we are and everything else. Let's bow together and ask God's direction before we read the Word. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be able to come into Your presence this morning. Once again, Lord, we approach the Word of God. We approach it reverently and humbly. And Lord, we just ask that the Spirit of God would enlighten our understanding. Father, we realize in ourselves we're nothing. And Father, but we also realize that through Christ, we can do all things. So Lord, we just ask that You would just give us wisdom, that we take these words, put them into practice in our lives. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, which is in Greece. And he's giving them some instruction. He's just cluing up his first letter that he wrote to them. And he's just giving them a lot of short little phrases what to do. And if you look at verse 16, he says, "Rejoice evermore." Verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 19, "Quench not the Spirit." 20, "Despise not prophesying." Then he says, 21, "Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Then in verse 23, and he says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "I pray to God," he said, "that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless." Now, we're living in a society where people don't understand or don't want to get into spiritual things and understand spiritual things unless it's some occultic thing or something like that, something that catches their attention. But regards to understanding what God's Word says about who we are and what we're here for and all these different things, people don't want to be too involved with it. I know there's a lot of debate going on even in the church realm, in Christian circles, about mankind. What are we, or who are we? What are we? You know, the Word of God tells us we are created in God's image. In God's image. And you can go through the book of Genesis here and you'll find this in chapter 1, chapter 2. That God created us in His image so that He could have fellowship with us. And there's a lot of things about us that the other created realms do not experience and don't understand. And we are created a spirit being. I said this last week. We're a spirit. We live inside of a body. We look at through two little windows. And we have all kinds of sensory things and for to find out things in the natural realm. But we are actually spirit beings. God created us spirit beings. This is why Jesus, when he was at the, in John chapter 4, when he's talking to the woman at the well, she was a lady, the Bible says, that had been divorced and remarried over and over and over. And she was living common law with the fellow. And Jesus spoke to her, and she started bringing in religion. "Oh, the Jews say this, we Samaritans say this, this and this." And Jesus said, "Listen," he said, "the day is coming and now is." In other words, he said, "You're already in that day." He said, "Those that are going to worship God got to worship Him in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit. God is a spirit." And so we need to understand that. God is not a human being like us. God is not a man, the Bible says, that he should lie. He's a spirit. And we are created in His image. When God created us, He created us as spirits, as spirit beings. And He created a body for Adam to live in, and He put the spirit in that body. When Jesus came to the earth, the Bible says, Jesus himself, you read it back in Psalms, you read it again in Hebrews. He said, sacrifice and offerings, you weren't all that, you know, caught up in that. He said, but a body you prepared for me. When Jesus came to the earth, he was a spirit. God prepared a body for him to come in. And you know the story, what we say, the Christmas story, where Mary gave birth to the Son of God, you know, to the physical aspect. But we need to understand these things. Now, we're going to look at some scriptures and go back and forth, different scriptures, so you can take your Bible and jot down a few thoughts as we're going, if you want to, and jot down some references so that we look at them, and, you know, we'll size up some of these different things. But we are what they call trichotomy. That's a big word. All it means, we have three parts. There's a lot of people believe that we're dichotomies. We got two parts. They say to your spirit and soul is one part, and then your body is the second part. But the Bible tells us that we are spirit, soul, and body. There's three parts. We're trichotomy. And as I said, that sounds like a big word, but it's not really. It's just telling us that we have three elements making us up, three parts or three realms. I don't know which way you want to say it. You fellows are able to understand what I'm saying, I'm sure. But anyway, so Paul says here, in 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 5, verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means your entire being. He said, I pray to God, he said, your whole body, or your whole spirit rather, and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I mentioned this before, and I almost did it myself there then. When we talk about an individual, we say their body, soul, and spirit. We start on the outside and work in. God starts on the inside and works out. He said, your spirit, your soul, and your body. We always say your soul, your body, your soul, and your spirit. But the correct way of looking at it, because as I said, we are spirit beings created as spirits, placed inside of a body so that we can live here on the earth. You know as well as I do, when the body dies, drops off, the spirit goes back to God, the Bible says, who gave it. Now, so we're going to look at some different scriptures. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. These scriptures, you know, would help you sometime when you're having struggles. Some people are saved, but they're struggling all the time to stay saved. Struggling all the time to keep their eyes upon the Lord. Struggling all the time to keep focused. And we need to understand God's Word. And once we understand God's Word, then we can better understand what's happening to us. When temptations come and all these other things and frustrations and all, we can understand more about it when we understand what God's Word says about it. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 12. Now, let me say this first of all, just as something going into this verse. When we're saved, when you gave your heart to the Lord, now notice what I said there, when you gave your heart, which is your spirit, right? When you gave your spirit to the Lord, we don't say it that way, but that's actually what happened. You never gave your body to him. You never gave your soul to him. You should have, but we don't. When we give our heart to the Lord, when you're saved, the point I'm trying to get across here, and we look at the scripture in a minute, the point I'm trying to get across, when you're saved, it's your spirit that was born again. You understand that? It's not your body. If you had pounds on before you got saved, you had pounds on after you got saved. You know? No matter what your body was before you got saved, it's going to be the same thing the minute you get up from the altar. It's going to be the same way. Now, I've seen God do miracles, people sober up and things like this, I've seen things like that, but you understand what I'm saying. It's not your body that was saved. It was your spirit. So here, see, this again is a problem, because the enemy comes at us through our body. You know, I mean, Dave announced this morning, we're going on a fast this week. I guarantee you, your body is not too pleased with that. Your body don't want to come here on, was it next Tuesday? Not this Tuesday, coming the following Tuesday? I start weighing in and say, is I going to try to lose some weight? Your body don't want to be involved with that stuff. Because you're a three-part being. The spirit, the Word of God says, is willing, but this flesh is weak. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, that you present your bodies. Now, as I said, when you got saved, your spirit got saved. You presented your spirit to God. You gave your life to the Lord. You know, whichever term you want to use for it. You gave a heart to the Lord. And not only did you give your life to the Lord, He gave His life to you. You know, that's in your spirit being. Now, but your body, you got to do something with your body. And you got to do something with your mind, your soulish realm. Here he tells us, we just gave our, let's say for instance, a person came and gave their heart to the Lord, and you might have done that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, or about 5 minutes ago. Doesn't matter. You gave your spirit to the Lord. He saved your spirit. Then he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He said, which is your reasonable service. Now, if you read the previous chapter, he's talking about all the different things that God has done for us in salvation, provided salvation. And he said, therefore, because of that, remember where the therefore is there? Stop and see what it's there for. He's tying together chapter 11 to chapter 12. He said, because God did all these things for us, therefore, our reasonable service is to give our bodies to the Lord as well. Present our bodies to Him as well. Then he goes on to verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Now, there's, you know, I've seen people over the years, and you know what I'm saying is true, even though you might not want to agree with it, you know it's true. I've seen people over the years, you know, growing up, and maybe as a young fellow, sees an unsaved girl that's not in the church, not serving God and things like this, and he wants to go with her. And you know, we always say to him, and I'm sure you already said to people as well, you know, well, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked together, because the day is going to come, you'll want to do one thing, he's going to want to do another thing, or she, or whatever the case might be. There's going to be that division, you know. And we say, oh, no, I'll win them. I tell you, it's a lot easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up. You know? And I've seen a lot of people being pulled down over the years because, you know, decisions like that. So God tells us, don't be conformed to the world. The church ought to be different than the world. Don't be conformed to the world. He said, but be transformed. You know? And then he says, be transformed. How do you do it? By renewing your mind. Now, get this. I'm going through this slow, and probably too slow, but when we got saved, our spirits got saved. Our soul and our body still needed to have work done on it. So he tells us, present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Not as a dead sacrifice. Jesus was the last dead sacrifice that God accepted. We now present living sacrifices to God. Then he says, renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, I don't know, I should have had some kind of a little chart on it for this. When God created Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve spirit beings. Now, I'm going to say something that is going to sound stupid to you, and you think I'm being sacrilegious and everything else, but I'm not. I'm just trying to get a point across. If somebody walked in here today and walked up here and stood up with no clothes on, what's the very first thing going to cross your mind? They're naked. They got no clothes on. Why? Because our thoughts are on the flesh today. You understand that? Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? The Bible says they're both naked and they weren't ashamed. But the minute they sinned, their eyes were open, the natural eyes were open, and they saw that they were naked, and they ran and tried to hide themselves. Why? Because all of a sudden, you see, when God created Adam and Eve, the spirit, and again, I should have had some chart up here to explain this a little better. But when God created Adam and Eve, He created them as a spirit. He had a soul, and the flesh was not that important. It wasn't all that involved. I don't know if that's a right term, but you understand what I'm saying. You had the spirit, you had the soul, you had the body. After they sinned, it went like this. The very first thing they noticed was the body. You understand that? And we're living in that society today where our focus is on the body. You know, we even dye our hair. You know? Because we focus so much on the body, there's nothing wrong with that if we balance it out. You see, what we've done and what the world has done, I mean, you ever, this bugs me, I tell you. You ever look at this, oh my goodness, E.T., is it? E.T. magazine? Is it? E.T.? E.T. Canada or something like that? I mean, do you get on, do you talk about what, I can't even remember her name, Jennifer Aniston or somebody. War last night. Who cares? She's allowed to wear what she wants. Or do you talk about this and here, this one walked in, you know, and they're wearing a necklace. You know, and it was, you know, and they're all concerned. And the world has gone crazy in a frenzy over movie stars and singers and all these different things. I mean, you hear somebody get up and sing, they scream, they faint, they do everything else. They're gone crazy over the flesh part. But you talk about spiritual things, oh, that's way down there. We're not interested in that. And that's all changed when Adam and Eve sinned, because it was like this, and it went like that, because all of a sudden, they start to notice the flesh. I don't know if it makes any sense to you today or not, but they start to notice the flesh, and today we're living in a society that you know, I was looking at the internet there yesterday, and up on the Simpatico page, you know, the homepage or Simpatico, I don't know, it was 10 men or 12 men or something like that, worthy of an affair. And it was a lady writing a column, and she said, I wouldn't mind getting in trouble over any of these. You know, we're crazy over the flesh. You know, they don't care how rotten they are on the inside and everything else, you know, but if the flesh looks good, we'll go for it. You know, how many people have chased a pretty face, married a pretty face, and wish after, man, I wish I never ever saw that pretty face. Why? Because we're so caught up in the flesh that the spiritual things are so low down on the scale. But see, what God wants us to do is tip the scale back the other way and bring the spirit back in the forefront. And you see, why some people are stronger in their walk with God than others is because they've learned to change the balance. You see, here's the thing about it. If you go, we're talking about a fast next week. But if you go, there's one way to say to lose weight guaranteed, just stop eating. You know, you lose weight. It might not be healthy, but you'll lose weight. Now, if we would learn to balance out the difference, and whatever you feed is going to grow, you know that. We're all living proof of that. Our waste proved that. You feed it, it'll grow. You got no problem trying to make something grow. You just feed it. Well, you just look at that in a spiritual sense, and you know as well as I do, to change the balance again. See, this is what fasting is about, right? You're putting the flesh down, but you're bringing the spirit up. You understand that? And if we learn to do that, now I'm not talking about going on a starvation diet, but listen, when you go on a fast, you're not on a hunger strike against God. Okay, get that in your mind. You're not trying to do something to twist God's arm or anything like that. You know, it's a place, the Bible says, to afflict our souls, to keep the natural realm down and to focus on spiritual things, you know, and make this here grow. So if you feed the spiritual, see, this is why the Word of God tells us, you know, David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, where's the heart? What is that? It's a spirit. We're not talking about the pump that pumps the blood. We're talking about, the, you know, the Bible refers to the heart as a spirit. David said, your word have I hid my spirit that I might not sin against you. David was building the spirit up. You know? And this is why the Word of God tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because that builds the spirit up. And you know as well as I do, if you forsake that, or you forsake prayer, if you forsake reading God's word, eventually the spirit gets weaker and weaker and weaker, and the flesh starts coming up. And all of a sudden you start getting cynical, you start getting critical, you gripe and complain about everybody in the church, stuff like this, because you're putting the flesh above the spirit. Right? But see, God wants us to do it this way. Put the spirit above the flesh. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you or not today. Let's look at another scripture. James chapter 1, verse 21. James, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1, verse 21. We're just talking about the flesh and the spirit. Let's look at about the soul. James chapter 1. Now, James wrote this to believers. If you look at James chapter 1, let me see. Verse 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," so he's talking to Christians. You understand that? He's talking to people that are already saved. You understand what I'm saying there? He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," when you call somebody a beloved brethren in the scripture, it's people that, you know, are part of God's family. You understand that? So they're already saved. Okay, now, let's look down to verse 21. He said, "Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Now, these people are already saved. These people are already saved, but remember, your spirit is the part that's saved. If you want to get your soul saved, if you want to use that term, he's talking about you have to renew your mind. We just read there what Paul said. You got to renew your mind with the word of God. You got to get God's word down in your heart and start to live it, live by it, and believe that way and think that way. And Jesus himself said, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. In other words, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. I guarantee you, people that don't have I can't say a relationship, because people can have a relationship with God and still do the same thing. But people that are not strong in their walk with God, if I can use it that way, people that are struggling in their walk with God, when a problem comes in their family, you can only be with them 2 minutes, and you'll find out what's in their heart. Oh my, what am I going to do now? I don't know how that's going to turn. Oh my goodness, you know. Right? But on the other hand, if you got the Word of God down there, when something comes up, the very first thing is going to come back out is the Word of God. What happened to Jesus when he was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil? The Bible says Satan came and tempted him, and immediately Jesus said, "It is written. You know, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve." And the devil said, "Do this," and Jesus, "It is written." You know, do something. "It is written." You know, because he had the Word in his heart. He was the Word, you know. But you need to understand, so whatever you feed is going to grow. And there's always that battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. There's always that struggle going on. And as I said, this might not be shouting stuff this morning, but if you take it and listen to it and take heed to it and be a doer of the Word, as the Word of God tells us, you'll find this will help you grow in your spiritual walk with God. People that need to be shouting and dancing and screaming all the time, like it, don't know how to walk when you get their 2 feet on the ground. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. We all need times of rejoicing and refreshing and all these different things. But listen, you know as well as I do, your life is not like that 24 hours a day. You got to face the music sometimes. You know, you got to walk straight sometimes. And you need to have God's word in your heart so that when everybody else has gone home and the singing has stopped and you wake up Monday morning, got to go back to work, you're not going in dancing in the streets and shouting and everything else because you're church yesterday. You need to have God's word down in your heart. Something is going to keep you through that week. Anyway, let's look at another scripture. Psalm 19, I just quote this, and you can look it up if you want to, but you just jot them down and look at these here. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul." Now, you need to understand what he's saying. We just talked about our minds, which is a soulish realm, needs to be renewed with the Word of God. James said, "Receive the engrafted Word, it's able to save your souls." Psalmist says right here in Psalm 19 and verse 7, The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The Word of God is a thing. You see, this is why the Bible tells us to renew our minds, to have our thinking renewed by the Word of God. And get God's Word down in our hearts so that when things come into our lives and struggles and battles and all these different things, we have something, some kind of a foundation, some kind of an understanding of what's happening so that we can speak God's Word and we can claim God's promises over it and things like this. But you can't do that unless you've got the Word of God down in your heart. Now, there's other verses, and I'm just going to quote these quickly. Isaiah 26 and 9. He said, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night, and with my spirit within me I will seek thee early." You see, now there's a difference between the spirit and the soul. And it's hard to put a fine line down and say, "This is the spirit and this is the soul." They're very closely connected. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us that only God's Word can divide it. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing to the piercing asunder of spirit and soul. It's so closely connected that it takes God's Word to divide it so you can understand the different aspects about it. We look at each other, and as I said, you look at me and I look at you, we see the physical body. But when God looks at us, God is not looking so much at the physical body. God is looking at the real person inside. You know, look in our hearts. Now, I'm just going to do this before we finish up this morning. With our bodies, we contact the physical realm. I mean, you want to pick something up on the floor over there, you don't send your spirit over to do it. Your body goes over and does it. You know, when you're seeing each other talking, you see each other's bodies. You know, we see each other physically. So in the physical realm, in the body we contact the physical realm. Our spirit we contact the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to worship God, you've got to worship in spirit. And you know as well as I do, we've all done it both ways. We've worshiped God in the flesh. We've worshiped God in the spirit. We've also worshiped God in the soulish realm sometimes. And I tell you, when you're worshiping God in the flesh and in the soulish realm and not connected in the spirit realm, it's hard. It's a struggle. But when the spirit connects, you know, you just put up your hands and all of a sudden the tears stream down your face and you just sense God's presence in a special way because now your spirit is connected with God. But when we are just trying to do it and just trying to go through routines and struggles and battles and all these different things and just trying to conjure up something so we can worship God, you know as well as I do, it's just a struggle all the time. There's got to be that connection with the Spirit of God. Now, with our body, as I was going to say, with our body we contact our physical realm. With our spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. With our soul, we contact the intellectual realm. It's our emotions, our feelings, and different things. This is why the Word of God tells us your soul will be lost. Or your soul, you know, go to heaven or whatever. We say, you know, when somebody dies, but their soul has gone to be with the Lord. Well, that's true. Because it's so closely connected to the spirit. You see, I remember years ago talking to some of the young fellows when we were going to school. They said, yeah, but that's only my soul is, you know, going to go to hell or whatever. That's not me. Yes, that's the real you. The real you is what's on the inside. You know as well as I do. It's not what's on the outside here now. You know, we're here on the planet for, you know, 70, 80, 100 years probably. You know, and living in this physical body. But inside, the real person is going to live forever. And so we need to understand that spirit that's on the inside is the thing we contact God with. This is why when you begin to worship God sometimes and it seems like, you know, it takes... And sometimes we come in and we're starting to sing, you know, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And everybody's looking at their watch and just thinking, you know, come on, get. Now that's the soul. That's the flesh and the soul and everything else. But all of a sudden, something hits you down here, like you just put up your hands and, you know, and you just start to worship God. That's when all of a sudden the spirit connected. So we need to learn, and as we discipline ourselves and as we grow, we'll learn how to make the spirit sensitive so that when God starts to minister. See, here's one thing, and I've proven this in my own life. When you're fasting, And the reason I mentioned fasting so much today, I guess, is because we've got one coming up. But when you're fasting, I've seen this myself. I could be listening to anything, Gaithers singing. You know? I could be listening to somebody on the radio preaching. I could be whatever. And before, well, just in the natural realm, before the fast or anything else, you can listen to say, man, that's a nice song. I like that. I like the tune. I like, you know, stuff like this. But when you start to fast, that's what I find. I don't know about anybody else. When you start to fast, or you know, and it's not necessarily just a fasting, but I'm just using this as an illustration today. It could be any time when your spirit connects. But when your spirit is connected with God, when you're close to God, and you're to the place that you're allowing the Holy Spirit to minister through you and all these different things, all of a sudden you hear the same song that you liked before. It was just a nice tune. All of a sudden the words start to impact you. And man, you just can't sing them. You can't get words out sometimes. Because all of a sudden something's connected on the inside. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and so we need to learn to not to be afraid of that. Now, you know, I get up preach sometimes late, and sometimes I find it hard to get a word out, you know. And sometimes I think, man, I wish I could stop doing that. I wish I could just be able to, you know, some fellows get up, and I'm not saying it's wrong or right or anything else. Some fellows get up and just go on like it, and I mean, sort of roughest kind of time, like they never flinch, they just go on. I get up like it, and I start thinking about what the person going through, I start thinking all these different, and I just, you know, and some people say, well, that's a soft heart. You know? But that's what the Bible talks about. The Bible says, God says he's looking for people that's got a broken spirit before him. A broken and contrite spirit, God says he would not turn away. So we need to be sensitive to God. Now, I know our personalities and our makeup and all these different things makes a little difference in the way we respond to things. I understand it. But don't ever be afraid, you know, to weep before God. Don't ever be afraid to just let the Holy Spirit minister to you and let and I've told you this before, this just crossed my mind now. Years ago when I was seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we were around the church was a service going on, and it was a Sunday night service, and they had the music playing, and everybody's, you know, and a lot of my friends received baptism, and that made me mad, because I wanted it so bad, like, you know, and I don't know how to describe it, but just something that you just wanted so bad. And I remember being around the altar. Now, we never had any fancy altar like we got here today with carpet on or anything. We just had an altar with canvas, you know, old canvas on it. And I start crying, and tears are dripping on the canvas. And I thought, and the pastor's wife, she's going around, and she is right in front of me. And I reached down and put my arm, like, wiped the tears out. I didn't want her to see any tears, you know. Wiped the tears up. And so anyway, I mean, God was moving, and you know, things are happening. And I'm sure I'm just like anybody else. You start to cry, your nose start to run too. That is probably being a bit rude this morning or crude or whatever. But anyway, my nose start to run. And I thought, man, I'm not letting the pastor's wife, you know, is there in front of me. I'm not letting her see my nose run. You know? So I was scurrying around looking for tissues and everything else and trying to wipe my nose and keep one hand up, and, you know, like this. And finally, I came to the place that I wanted God so bad, I didn't care anymore. And I remember putting up my hands, and this is the gospel. I put up my hands, and I heard somebody else speaking. I thought it was, but it was me. When you realize, you know, when you receive it yourself. And every one of you probably had a little different stories, but basically, sometimes it works the same way. But you see, when we forget about the flesh and put the spirit first, God can do something for us. But see, a lot of Christians live their entire realm in the flesh. Oh, they've given their hearts to the Lord, and God in his mercy will take us to heaven when we die. But we live in the flesh realm. And we're so, you know, caught up in trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to look good before people, trying to, you know, look good in the flesh. Not talking just in your body, but in the natural realm. Just look good to everybody. And God says, I can't do much for you until you're willing to let that go down and let the Spirit come up. And when you get that balance, start to shift gear, all of a sudden, church, you just can't long to get back to church. You know, you say, I don't want to go to prayer meeting. You get that balance shifting, you'll want to go to prayer meeting. I mean that, you know. So we've got to learn to balance this out. Let the spirit man dominate us. The spirit, Dave, come up for a minute. We're going to finish up with this. Let me see. Just trying to find a bit of... Go to Romans for a minute. Let's go to Galatians. Sorry about that. Galatians. And Galatians chapter 5. Verse 15, he says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you would not consume one of another. Verse 16, he says, this I say, walk in the Spirit. Remember we just talked about the Spirit and the flesh? Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some people say, well, it's just too hard. It's just too hard. I just can't, you know, I'm so tempted. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, I can't lose any weight. My wife's father smoked for years. And I'll come to you in a minute, sir, and I'm forgetting you. My wife's father smoked for years, and somebody said they can't quit smoking. He says, quitting? There's nothing to it. He said, I quit a dozen times. See, the problem is not the quitting. The problem is stay quit. Stay quitting. You know, that's where the problem is at. Now, notice what he says in verse 17. Verse 17. He says, for the flesh lusteth or wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under that law. Now, this is going to be a crude way of doing things, but just we're going to have a tug of war. Later. Okay. You want to be the flesh or the spirit?
I want to be good
at the flesh. As being honest. See, here we are. Okay, this is the spirit. This is the flesh. Paul said, we're fighting all the time. I want to go this way. You want to go that way. I want to go this way. I want to go to church. You don't want to. And we're doing it against, and we come up with, say, prayer meeting. Yeah, I'm going to go to prayer meeting. I want to go to prayer meeting. See, the flesh or the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? It can't come. It's weak and strong that way in regards to pulling you back, but it's weak in regards to doing the will of God. And there's always that battle. And every time you want to do something for God, the spirit says, you know, like we say, we're going to have fasting and prayer. Amen. I'm going to put my name down for that. I'm going to be there Saturday morning. You wake up Saturday morning. You want to go to church. Right? The flesh starts pulling you back to bed. You understand that? You know, and this is what happens all the time. No matter what you're trying to do, you get up Sunday morning. So, you know, I know I should be in church. I mean, you know, Christians, we should be in church. Jesus, the Bible says his custom was to go to the Sabbath, go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. So we say, okay, I'm going to make up my mind and go to church every Sunday. And the flesh starts pulling back. And there's always that battle going on all the time. But the Bible says if we begin to walk in the Spirit gets strength. And remember we talked about you got to build that spirit part up? When you build a spirit part up, all of a sudden the flesh starts getting weaker and you can pull it over. You can come this way now. You can pull it over this. And eventually you get the flesh going along with you. You see, when there, that's good, buddy. Thanks. You're a good man. When God created Adam and Eve, the spirit was the strongest one. Right? But you see, there's a soul in between the two. And what you put into that soul is going to direct either the flesh or the spirit. This is why it's important, and don't get mad at me. You know it's true. This is why it's important. Be careful what you're watching on TV. Right? Because you're filling in that soul realm. And whatever you feed, you put it into the soul, and it either goes to the spirit or to the flesh. And whatever you put into their soulish realm, puts into your thoughts, your you know, this is why the Word of God says, I put no evil thing before my eyes. Whatever you put into the soulish realm is either going to be filtered out to the spirit, or to the spirit or to the flesh. And whatever you feed in is going to cause one or the other to grow. See? And it's going to take some discipline. But you've got to learn to get to the place that you start putting in. You see, if you're finding it your Christian walk. What's that song? I'm tired and I want to go home. I don't know how it goes. I remember a fellow singing it years ago. Anybody know it? Anyway. Yeah, this chorus we sing. But there's the one that says, I'm tired and I want to go to bed or something like that. Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. That's it. That's the one. Right? You ever feel like that spiritually? You just got no strength to do anything? You just, you know? Well, you know, because we feed the flesh realm. So the spirit is starving. And the minute you talk about prayer meeting, man, that's the last thing on my mind. Why? Because we're thinking about the flesh. We're living in this realm. You know, and so we got to get to the place that we start feeding the spirit. Comes into the soulish realm, feed the spirit, and that will grow and grow and grow. And as that starts to grow, the flesh starts to lose its appeal. Be careful what you're reading. I'm going to say this, and you get mad at me, but it's okay. We'll close up in a minute anyway. And by next Sunday, you'll be calm down and you'll say, love me again. Listen, don't allow the devil. There's so many things that the devil is doing with the media today. I mean, you look at television, and they got little sitcoms on there that, you know, what they're propagating and everything else is totally directly against God's word, but yet they do it in a humorous way so that we sit down and laugh and say, oh, I enjoy looking at that. But we don't understand the devil's tricks of bringing that into the soulish realm. Right? And eventually you get to the place where, well, you know, that's not so bad. You know, the church, you know, I don't know why you're so upset about that. Why? Because the devil has softened your soulish realm and fed the spirit, the flesh realm so much that now spiritual things don't really matter anymore. This is one thing that bugs me. We're spirit beings. Whether you understand it or believe it or not, we are. This is the way God created us. He put us in a body. And we're supposed to feed the spirit. If you start feeding your spirit with, and I'm getting very practical now, you start feeding your spirit with pornography, you feed the flesh, I should say, with pornography, the spirit is going to get so weak, you won't be able to do anything. You start feeding with horror movies, some people say, oh, I love a good scary movie. Listen, you're playing around devil's territory. Got a couple people nodded to me. The rest of you, you know I'm right, you're just afraid to say anything. You're playing around in the devil's territory. And you're opening up a door. Remember Jesus, one scripture sticks me, I think of lots of, Jesus himself said it. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm so, got everything all figured out in my life, so perfect. I'm just as bad as you are. But one thing Jesus said that really stuck me, he said, the prince of this world, he's talking about Satan at the time, he said, the prince of this world is coming. This is just before he was being crucified, before Jesus was being crucified. He said, the prince of this world is coming. He said, but he's got no part in me. Boy, maybe you read that and just never understood what he's saying, but listen to what he's saying. When you sit down and you look at pornography, or when you read dirty stories, or you read, now, I'm not trying to get clothesline preacher here today, but you start reading romance books where everybody's cheating on everyone else, and somebody looking at all the stories, or somebody's in bed with somebody else's wife, and all these different things going on all the time. You're playing around with the devil, and you're giving the devil the opportunity to bring that into your life, into your family. I made that. This is why Jesus said, he says, Satan is coming, but he's got no part in me. I never ever gave him any place. I wonder if we can say that. I never ever gave him any place. I think we all have given him place. And if we're going to do this the way that God wants us to do it, we got to start putting the flesh down and bringing the spirit up. And you do that by what you're feeding into the center part of that, the soulish realm. Don't allow the devil to trick you into thinking, well, I'm strong enough to put up with that. I'm strong enough. I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. Praise God.
Glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade. When black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade when you get.